Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that in your great love, you showed us who you really are. You came down the stairway of heaven and was made flesh, humble, lying in a manger. Father, you raised up your Son to teach us who you were, how to love you, your love for us, and how to love one another. Father, may the spirit of love, grace, and mercy that we feel so strongly on this Christmas Eve be with us throughout the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just love Christmas Eve services. When I was a little kid, we used to come here. Of course, when I came here then, the church was in the fellowship hall. This wasn't built yet. And our tradition was that we would come to church, we would do the candlelight service, and when we got home on Christmas Eve, Santa Claus had come. And we got to open all of our gifts. Things are a little bit different now. But that same excitement, that same joy, that same expectation, that same realization that God is present with us is still here today. That's what keeps bringing us back day after day. Why did you come? What brings you back day after day? Well, I guess there's as many answers as there are people who are here today. Some of you are here because you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, because you adore him. He's a regular part of his life, of your life. So for you, for those of you who are here to worship Christ, I bid you welcome. Some of you are here tonight because you used to believe, but you're not so sure anymore. All of that hope and all of that joy and all of those expectations that you once held for this wonderful evening when God became flesh have somehow dissipated into this longing and this emptiness that you so often feel. For those who have come here this evening longing for a relationship with Jesus Christ, I bid you welcome. Some of you don't believe. You have no expectation of believing, but you wouldn't ruin your family's Christmas Eve by staying home. So you came. For those of you that have come because of that, in the name of the God of your mothers and fathers, I bid you welcome. God made the announcement through the angels to the shepherds. They were terrified. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." To all of us, believers, unbelievers, those who aren't sure from day to day what they really are, for unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. His birth is good news of great joy for all people, precisely because it's God's way of overcoming distinctions and divisions that are made on those distinctions, on those who believe, those who doubt, those who don't believe. When God decided to send his Son into the world, he made the announcement not to Quirinius, not to Caesar, not to the high muckety-mucks and the priest, but to simple shepherds. He came, and can you imagine that? You're out there tending your flocks at night, and all of a sudden the sky lights up, and you go, whoa, that's not something you see every day. And they were terrified, and the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." There was no distinction between the shepherds that were righteous and rigorous, between those who only went to the synagogue on Yom Kippur and Passover. It's for all people. And how desperately this world needs to hear that unifying message of God's love and grace for us all. this Christmas when even Christian denominations can't seem to get together. Instead, we argue over the very things that God gave us to unite us. When should you baptize? When should you shouldn't baptize? Is it the real presence in the Lord's Supper? Is it not? Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. This Christmas, when families know the sundering loss of jobs, the destructive dynamics of anger and distancing, the divisive potential of competing demands with limited resources. This Christmas, when many in our midst know an echoing emptiness in their lives, an estrangement from friends, a loneliness due to loss, a loss of life, a loss of love, and wonder why God could possibly allow this to continue to happen. And how can they keep going on day after day? This year, when people are not one with themselves, their family, their friends, their neighbors, their employers, their church, or even their God. This is a message for you. This is a message to unify us all. We need the good news of great joy for all people. But more than that, we need the very one whose birth the angels announced. Precisely this one. Because like all babies, he's the fruit of the union between mother and father. But unlike any other, his father is God. He unites the divine and the humanity. So no longer are men and God separate. For in Jesus Christ and his incarnation, he has brought us together. He has brought us together, God and man. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can I get another hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Let's make it the Trinity hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Awesome. God brought us together. It overcomes all the divisions. It overcomes all the distinctions that we make. Because in God, we are one. So what's the point of trying to divide according to race, according to religions, according to Democrat or Republican, according to all these things that divide us and drive us nuts? God is here to bring us together. For behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for Missouri Synod Lutherans. Psych. It shall be for all people. All people. There was a seminary professor that took his middle school son out fishing one day, and the fish weren't biting very much, and so they had an opportunity to talk. And the son asked his dad, this great theological mind, he said to him, "Dad, what's the hardest thing that God ever did?" And it kind of caught him by surprise. This great theological mind wasn't sure how to answer that, so he does what all seminary theologians do. They answer the question with another question. "Son, what do you think is the hardest thing for God to do?" And the son said, "Well, when I was in science class, I thought that maybe the hardest thing for God to do would be creation, making the heavens and the earth with just a word." But then in Sunday school class, we started talking about miracles. And I thought maybe the hardest thing for God to do would be the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. But then I got to thinking about it a little bit more. And I thought, I think the hardest thing for God to do is that we don't know who God is very well. So he sent his son down here to teach us how much he loves us. That's the hardest thing for God to do. To make you know how much he loves you. And then to court you. And to bring you into love relationship with him so that you also will love him. There's a story that's told about this family that was struggling financially one Christmas. They didn't have much money, and the mom squandered some money on Christmas wrapping paper. So while he was arguing with his mom over buying Christmas paper instead of the milk that they needed, the little girl grabbed that roll of paper and used a whole bunch of it on something. Well, the dad was pretty angry about it. How could you waste that much when we had so many to do? Well, the next morning, he found a gift under the tree with all of that paper wrapped around it. He opened it up, and there's a box with nothing in it. And so he got angry again. When you give someone a gift, you're supposed to give something in it. And the little girl goes, "But Daddy, you don't understand. I filled that box with my kisses. I blew kisses in there. And I filled it with my love. And it's all for you, Daddy. It's all for you." I bet he felt pretty bad about that. So what we have today, and there's a box next to Eric and Rebecca. Maybe they'll, since they sat back there by them, maybe they'll hand them out at the end. They're these little boxes. They're in a wrap. When you open them up, it might seem like there's nothing in there, but it is. It's filled with God's love for you. So I want you to think about this story as you take this box and you take it home. And when times are tough, and times will be tough, and you're struggling, when you're feeling alone, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling abandoned, take out that box and open it up and just draw out from it God's great love, because God loves you. He sent his son into this world. I want to quote from Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Now listen to this part. You know what happened to Jesus, right? He was born to be crucified. He went to the cross. He was tortured. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about it. "For the joy set before him," For the joy set before Jesus, "he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." For the joy. Going to an execution like that, joy is probably the last word I would use to describe the feelings that I would have. But God's love for you is so great that Jesus knew that the only way that he could unite us, the only way that he could forgive us of our sins, the only way that he could make a place for all who believe to be with him forever would be for him to take your sin, to take my sin on the cross and die. For the joy set before him. It's joy because he loves you that much. He absolutely loves you. So if you're wondering as you leave here tonight, who's worth your love and who's unworthy of your love? I got this paperweight from my dear friend Nancy, and it's a little message from God. It says, "Just love everyone. I'll sort them out later. For behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." Merry Christmas, everyone. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.